Always good to be on the Lord's side. You can't go wrong when we're on the Lord's side, for if God be for us, who can be against us? And that is very true, folks. Keep that in mind. If God be for us, who can be against us? And so, always safe on the Lord's side. Always safe. All right, by way of review, just for a moment, a few moments. Last week I asked you the question as we got started about hurt. And I asked you the question, how many of you have hurts in your life that still come out or that still you remember? And if you remember, did something a little bit different. I had you bow your heads and close your eyes. In the beginning of the service, I asked that. And I said right after that, I threw out a percentage. I said maybe 75%, and I kind of brought that back a little bit, maybe 60. To tell you the truth, I don't really know what percentage it was, but I will say this. There were many of you that indicated, many rays of hands, that indicated that you agreed that you had hurt in your life, that you had gone through, maybe still are going through. And so, you know, that makes sense to me, because I find that even behind that, there's a lot of people that aren't willing to even admit it, but still going through hurts and things that you remember in the past. And I'll tell you what, as human beings, those things hurt. They do. In some cases, they're words. In some cases, they're actions done. In some cases, they're rejection. In some cases, I could go on and on. There's so many things that happen, things that are given, things that are withheld, and people in our lives. We have been hurt. And the slave would say, oh, to be free. The worker that's looking for retirement, oh, to be free. The student in school, oh, to be free. Freedom is a good thing. We're thankful for the religious freedom that God has given to us through salvation. God has made us free from sin. He's made us free from hell. He's made us free. I hope that you're free tonight that way. How do we get free? Trust, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And that's how we're free. But I had you turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, and tonight we're going to start there again as our starting point. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 32. Now, if you look at the passage of Scripture that leads up to verse 32, you're quick to recognize that obviously there is hurt. There are difficult times that we face, and every single person on the face of this earth faces difficulties, faces hard times, faces hurt, faces things like this. And that's why we're instructed to do this and do that and don't do this and don't do that. But in verse 32, to end the chapter, Paul concludes with this verse, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." The imperative of the verse, be kind. The participle, then forgive. How do we be kind? Well, you do it by forgiving. We need to make sure that we forgive. The word forgiveness is a very freeing word in and of itself. The word forgiveness is to pardon. And of course, to pardon is freeing. To pardon is to release something, to let it go. No longer behind the jail gate, the prison cell. No longer in shackles, no longer in cuffs. It is free. Pardon has been made. It's a giving of restoration on a freely basis. That's what the word forgiveness means. Well, with that, we look at one of the master stories in the Word of God on forgiveness. And that is the character of Joseph and his brothers. You know, when we look at the story of Joseph and his brothers, there are multiple groups of people in this story that were hurt. Think through it. There were hurts. Well, even father. Who's the father in this story? Jacob. Had Jacob been hurt in his life? He had. He had been hurt. He had been deceived. He had been tricked. And He had a lot of things in his life that had come upon him, and then he had been avenged on for a little bit, at least in the attitude, from his brother. I'll tell you what, there were some hurts in Jacob's life that had come through, and certainly when his children were born, of course we know that through multiple wives and ladies, that there were a number of children born, and 12 brothers that were born into the family, and with all those brothers, there's some hurts that are there. Going back to mom and dad, whoever mom was, and who, of course, dad, Jacob, there were some hurts. You know, any time we get human beings in life who sin, there's going to be hurts. There's going to be hurts. In fact, folks, just understand that you're going to get hurt. People are going to say dumb things. Have you ever said something dumb? I have. I just did a little while ago. You know, we're going to say stupid things in life. We're going to act in ways in which, I wish I would have done that. And as a result of that, people are going to get hurt. We get hurt. Anytime there's human beings involved, there's hurt. Well, Jacob and Joseph are no different, Joseph's brothers. And of course, you remember the story about Joseph is born, and he's born into this big family and his brothers, and Joseph is favored, he's loved by father, and he's a goody-goody in the brothers' eyes and minds. And Joseph does a few things that the brothers don't like, and of course he dreams some dreams, and they don't like that. What? You're going to be better than us, you're going to be lifted up above us. They don't like that. Were the brothers, did they have hurt in their lives? Yeah, they did. You know, it was hurtful to have father like brother more than them. I've mentioned this in past bitterness messages. Listen to this, everybody. Especially parents, grandparents, church members. When we have favorites in life with people, when we prefer other people over others, in other words, when we are a respecter of persons, it always leads to hurt. The best way to deal with people is to deal with people the way God does. Does God have any favorites? No favorites with God. God loves all of mankind. For God so loved who? He didn't say God so loved Sean Madrid, just. He didn't say God so loved just the people of Faith Bible Church or just this group of people. God says, for God so loved the world. And so we've got to remember that we've got to be very careful with how we're dealing with people. And so these brothers have hurts in their lives, and the hurts go on, and an evil report that's given of the brothers. And the brothers so hurt over dad and brother and dreams and tattling, or however you want to look at it. I don't know that Joseph tattled. I don't know. But it was an evil report that he brought to his father. These brothers are hurt. What you do with a hurt is very important. The forgiving spirit that we're going to look at is illustrated to us. You can take your Bibles in Genesis chapter 45. We're going to base out of Genesis 45. We might allude to Genesis chapter 50. Both chapters are important with this area of forgiveness. All right, I asked you this question last week. What's the biggest thing that happens at the beginning of chapter 45 in Genesis? Joseph indicates to his brothers who he is. Now, it's been happening for several chapters in here that there's been interaction together, but the brothers don't understand who Joseph is. They have no idea. And all of a sudden in chapter 45, we read in the first couple of verses that Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, and there's those words, "I am Joseph." And a ton of weight goes onto these brothers' shoulders. In a couple points last week, I submitted to you that Joseph's brothers are in bondage. They're not free. All right, let me ask you another question. Let's go to Joseph himself. Had Joseph been hurt in life? Yes. Hurt's going to come. And I would say this in my studying, I don't believe that hurt of itself is wrong. Sin. We get hurt. Even the Lord Jesus Christ was hurt. He was hurt. It's what you do with the hurt. It's how you deal with the hurt that goes into the area of whether or not you've sinned or not. Had Joseph reasons to be hurt? Absolutely. What had Joseph gone through? Well, there was betrayal, right? I mean, his brothers getting him and throwing him to a pit. Reporting back to dad that a wild animal had killed him. Robbing him of, stripping him of his coat of many colors. And then Ishmaelites coming through and, we have a better idea. Let's get him out of this pit and let's sell him. Let's get rid of this guy so we never see him again. That was the idea. Let's get rid of him so we never see him again. Never have to be faced with this guy again. Interesting of what happens. Joseph was sold to the group of traders that were on their way through. He gets to Egypt, and in Egypt he actually works himself into a good position, and God gives him a good position, and he there is working for Potiphar, and there gets caught up in a situation with his wicked wife. And Joseph does the right thing. He runs away and he flees and is blamed for immorality with Potiphar's wife. Can you imagine? Would that be a hurtful thing? Well, I can't imagine how devastating it would be to be charged with something like that when you didn't do it at all. In fact, you did the right thing and you fled and you ran. I would say that Joseph had human reasoning to be hurt. He gets thrown in prison and he's there. He's promised by one that he helps that he's going to remember when he gets out, you know, to tell his boss about Joseph so he can, and he forgets for years. Well, that had to hurt as well. Lord, why am I here? God, why am I here? You know, Joseph's life is filled with hurts. And so we have two entities here. We have the brothers, Jacob and the brothers, and we have Joseph. Were both hurt? Yes. Both of these were hurt. Both of them dealt with hurt in a different way. One was in bondage, one was in freedom. And so we look at this forgiving spirit. Number one, Joseph's brothers were troubled at his presence. Chapter 45 and verse 3. And Joseph said unto his brothers, I am Joseph, doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. When we have not forgiven, when there is hurt in our lives, that we have not resolved, we are going to tremble and struggle with people's presence. And the question to you is, do you struggle when certain people come around? You struggle when certain names are mentioned? Does something get inside of you that gets under your skin that you say, oh, that person? Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, you're in bondage. Bondage. Oh, to be free. Question, do you wish you could be freed from that bondage that is inside of you with that individual? I want to tell you something, as I shared with you last week. God longs to set you free, and He's already earned it for you on the cross. You don't have to be in bondage of this trouble at people's presence. We hear the things that people say, and we loathe with anger. We watch the things that they do, and we despise their actions. We fear the things that they may find out. And the question is, would you forgive? What was Joseph's response? Come near. We find in verses 4 and 5. Come near. Come near me. I want to be with you. Come near to me, I pray you. There's freedom. Freedom in relationships. So I ask you the questions. Point number one, is there freedom in your relationships? Let's go to point number two. And for this, we turn to Genesis chapter 50. What was Joseph's what was the brother's response when dad died? And remember, in culture, dad held things together in the family. You better honor, you better respect, you better be loving each other. But when dad dies, we do as we please, and brothers are afraid. Joseph's brothers were afraid of Joseph's probable anger. You see, these brothers were in bondage. They lived in fear. They lived in anger. They lived in jealousy. They were an emotional wreck because of a dream, favoritism, fear, jealousy, selfishness, emotions. Isn't it amazing how bitter spirits carry with it lots of emotions? It can bring out tears. It can bring out fear, bring out anger. Lashing out and backbiting and whatever we can think of. What was Joseph's response back in chapter 45? Be not grieved. Chapter 50, don't be angry. Where was the freedom? With Joseph. He had given this over. Over to a mighty God that was so good to him. So Joseph's brothers were troubled at his presence. And that's a characteristic of a person that's in bondage. Troubled at presence. Joseph's brothers were afraid of Joseph's probable anger, or we could say emotions. And these people were emotionally a mess. Emotional wrecks. Joseph solid. We see thirdly, of course, I just read for, you know, we looked. Go to chapter 50 really quick. Maybe you're already there. Chapter 50 and verse 15. Again, Joseph's brethren, they saw their father was dead. They said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. Notice, we read that verse right there. Look at, he's going to come back to us. I want you to see thirdly, and a lot of these are very similar, but Joseph's brothers were tormented and they lived in fear by the circumstances. And circumstances is the key word. They lived in fear of circumstances. The circumstances were there. You know, they had remembered in verse 15 what they had done in the past. Can't you imagine? As soon as dad died, what were they remembering? That time when they threw him in the pit. That action when they ripped off his robes, when they killed that animal and dipped it in that animal's blood, when they took it back to their dad, and all that time they knew they were lying. Hope dad doesn't find out. Dad, here's Joseph's robe. Look at what happened to Joseph. And can you imagine when they were there and then those traitors coming through and they get a great idea. Let's pull him out and let's sell him to these guys and let's get something. We'll never see him again. But I'll tell you something, even though they did it, there must have been a lot of guilt involved. That's why they were excited, probably, if they were headed to Egypt. Get rid of this guy. They were fearful of what they had done in the past. Notice in chapter 45 and verse 3, you know, I already mentioned they were fearful at the circumstance with his presence. You know, when Joseph said, it is I, Joseph, it's your brother Joseph, all of a sudden the circumstances are flooding through. You know, and then Joseph's dad, their brother, you know, their dad dies, and all of a sudden the circumstances, what are we going to do now? Again, as I already mentioned, they lived in fear and they were in bondage. You know, a person that's in bondage with this unforgiving spirit lives in fear of circumstances. In some cases, it's fear that that person is going to get away with what they did. Have you ever had that thought? It's bitter thoughts, by the way. I think I brought it up last week. You live in fear that that person who did you wrong is going to go away clean. I pause because I'm giving you time to think. When a person, listen to this, when a person is bitter at somebody else, that's tough. Watching somebody go away clean. Do you understand what we're talking about here? Why? Because we want to see them understand what they made us go through. They've got to pay. They've got to suffer. They've got to feel what they've done to me. I want to tell you something. That is living in bondage. You know what? That's like prison. I wonder how many of you out here tonight are living in bondage because of the circumstances concerning and around that person that hurt you. And everything they do, everything they say, just hurts. The circumstances in your life. Now we leave Joseph for a minute and you think regarding your life. You know, the things that you've done in the past to them. Guilt. Betrayal. Lies. Hurts that you put on them. Maybe things that may happen. Maybe turning and flipping the coin on you. As I just mentioned, things they may get away with. Things about them that just flat out agitate you. Just for a moment, look at Joseph's. How does he deal with circumstances? Kind of amazing. Go back to chapter 45 if you're not there. Again, we're flipping back and forth with 45 and 50. But chapter 45 of Genesis. What do you think about Joseph? Was Joseph in bondage with the circumstances in his life? Honestly, the way Joseph talks is kind of amazing. Look at verses 6 and 7 in chapter 45. You know, he's talking about things. He says, in verse 5, "Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither." I mean, he just mentions that ye sold me hither. And what was in connection with it? Don't be grieved about it. Don't worry that you sold me. That you sold me? Can you imagine being sold? Human life being sold? That's a hurtful thing. But the circumstances didn't faze Joseph. He said, "Don't be grieved that you sold me." He says it in passing. You know, he's not sitting there. He doesn't say, "Don't be grieved, brothers." And all of a sudden, right before he says that you sold me, he breaks down and, you know, and carries on and crying, you know, about being sold. And we looked at this the fact last week. I would submit to you with all of my heart, I don't believe that any tears that Joseph shed were reminiscence of his hurt that he received in the past. I believe with all of my heart, Joseph was grieved because of what his brothers were at a loss at, what they were going through. He cared about them and he cared about God. He was grieved over what those brothers, "You're missing out. You have lost the view of God's will in your life," which we're going to talk about here next in the next point. "You don't understand, brothers. You sold me." And he doesn't make a point of that. In passing, he says, "And yet, that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath famine been in the land, and that there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve your posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance." You know, you think about the circumstances in Joseph's life and it amazes me. It amazes me. It's like everything in Joseph's life is lined, you know, with silver. Famine, selling me, being accused of this. Look, you know, can you imagine? Look at what God's doing. Look at all the circumstances. Look at this. Look at that. I want to tell you something. Maybe he didn't have the bright eyes, but he's got an idea. He's got a mentality in his mind that's got God written all over it. And his circumstances, I want to tell you something, Joseph is free in his circumstances. These brothers, their circumstances, everything that happens with these brothers, you can see their eyes pop out. Oh no, remembering now, what's going to happen in the future? They can't handle anything in life right now. You think back just a few chapters before this, you know, with Benjamin and finding the gold cup in the sack and all this. I want to tell you, everything we read about Joseph's brothers, they are living a life of circumstances that is treacherous to them. Can you see that, folks? Can I tell you this? When a person has an unforgiving spirit, life is a struggle. Circumstances are a wreck. Because you're afraid of what will happen. You're afraid of this. You're fearful of that. You're angry at that. It's miserable. I'm saying this to you. The point of this is not, as I told you last week, we're not going to get all the victory yet. It's identification. Am I living in bondage or am I living in freedom? But I'll say this like I have the last couple points. God sent his son Jesus to go to the cross for you, to free you from this very bondage of unforgiveness. You don't have to suffer from this torment any longer, like these brothers are going through, and that you might identify in your life that you're going through. You know, he goes on in verses 9 and 10. Haste ye, go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith the son Joseph, God hath made me Lord over all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. Thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children and flocks and herds and all that thou hast. You know, circumstances of Joseph are just incredible. Everything's a blessing. I'll say this, when you get freedom of unforgiveness, circumstances in life will be very freeing, be glorious of what God is doing. I'll even say this. There's a new perspective that even when things are happening in our world and country like they are today, when we've got a godly perspective, you can be just as happy as you were a week ago. And that right there is convicting. Let's go to the next, number 4. We see this in chapter 45 and chapter 50. Similar verses, same verses. But notice, fourth of all, Joseph's brothers were numb. And I use that word. Joseph's brothers were numb concerning the will of God. Do you catch that? Did Joseph's brothers have any thought right now about all that God was doing? Question, was God doing something through all of this? Go all the way back to Joseph's coat. Was God doing something with that coat? Of course he was. Was God doing something with those dreams? Well, of course he was. Was God doing something with their response? He was. Was God doing something with that evil report? He was. Was God doing something with that pit that was dug? He was. Was God doing something with that band of slaves or those traders that were coming through? He was. Was God doing something with Potiphar and his wife? He was. Was God doing something with those guys in the jail that he met? He was. Was God doing something with the 2 years that they forgot him? He was. Was God doing something with a famine? He was. Was God doing something with dreams of the first in command, the Pharaoh in Egypt? He was. God is always doing something good in our lives. Always. He's always doing something good. And we need to be people that recognize God's will. But can I say this? When we have a spirit of unforgiveness, we're blind to what God is doing. We're blinded. Everything, just like we looked at in circumstances, is a mistake. We don't see God in anything. You know, there's been things in my life that have been very hurtful, and I remember one of those things which I believe that I've tried to forget, but I look back at one of those things, you know, and when that happened, I could see no good in it. In fact, it was devastating. But I'll tell you what, if I would have had a forgiving spirit, I could have easily, right away, saw, you know what, God is doing something good, and I'm excited about this. Folks, I want to tell you something. God is doing something good right now in America. He is. Because God always does good. And He's always working things together for good. And it's not second best or third best. I don't know if you've caught on to this. I say that to you a lot. I want you to get it. Never do we get second best. Sometimes we can get numb to God's will, can't we? Real quick. Through difficult circumstances. Back to the context and the topic we're talking about, though, not just national things. I'll tell you, when we have bitterness and hurts in the past that we have not forgiven, I'll tell you what, we're blind to what God's doing. Blind to what God's doing. These brothers, they don't know. 45:8. Look at verse 8, chapter 45. Okay, here we see the opposite. So now it was not you that sent me hither. I mean, these brothers, who do they attribute all this problem? The brothers even, they knew that they had done it. And that's why they got frayed in chapter 50. Because they did it. But they were missing something. They were missing the fact that God did this for what? Blessing. They would have died, I mean, without God. They would have died down where they came from, or up where they came from. They would have died. They would have lost, they were losing everything. But see, God had it in mind so that they could, so that Israel could preserve life. God could preserve life to Israel. Amazing, but they miss it. You know, again, chapter 50 and verse 15. You know, they're fearing what they had done in the past, but they have no clue. And see, folks, they were in bondage. They were thinking about everything else but God's perfect plan. And the question goes to us: do you consider God's will through your difficult circumstances and situations with that other person? Have you considered that hurtful thing that person said and how it was used for your good and for God's glory? I don't like to have you go back to the hurt, because replaying the hurt in life only makes it worse. But I'm not asking you to replay the hurt. I'm asking you to go back to that thing that has been hurtful to you. And I'm asking you not to look at how it hurts you, but I'm asking you to look at what could God have been doing in that to help you and make you better. You see, that's what God wants you to remember. God wants you to go back and say, okay, here's what has happened, but look at what God did. Look at how God helped me. Look at what God was trying to accomplish here. Now, I've used this in the past week or so concerning our nation. Have I established to you and have helped you to remember that there have been leadership in with God's people that has been less than the best? What's the answer? Yes. Did God approve of those wicked things that those men did? No. Did God take those leaders, though, and use them for His glory? Yes. Even wicked kings, God used for His glory. That is only accomplished through an amazing God. But see, I'll tell you something. When we're hurt and we're thinking about all this stuff, we are numb concerning those things. All we can think about is all that's happening that's bad. But we have a perspective. Wait a second. Something is happening here, but God's going to do something good with it. You know what? He can use Nebuchadnezzar, can't He? God can use Ahab for some amazing things that some of you and I benefit this very day from. Praise the Lord that God can use things like that, men like this, to help us in our lives so that we can have victory, so that Faith Bible Church can move forward in victory. And God, you know, Joseph's brothers were so numb to things, and they're missing everything. I mean, they're standing there in chapter 50. They're standing there already benefiting, weren't they? In chapter 50, they're already there. They have been blessed. Joseph has already blessed them over and over and over. Families up. They've given them land, in Goshen. They have been placed there. They're living already. Chapter 50 is like time has gone on now. They're experiencing God's blessing. And yet they've not gotten forgiveness yet. They've not got it because as soon as dad dies, they're blind to God. All they had to do is step back and say, wait a second, connect the dots. Look at what God did. But they couldn't connect the dots. Folks, I want to say something. When we've got an unforgiving spirit, it's hard to play connect the dot. You know what? When we have a forgiving spirit, all of a sudden, we're able to say, you know what? Look at what God is doing here. You know, I praise the Lord for that. But you know what? This didn't work out the way I thought. But look at what God is doing. He must be teaching me this. He must be leading me here. God's got to be doing his precious work. And I'll tell you what, for the person that has that attitude, we can also see things. Personally, there's been something that I've been going through, a test of faith in the last couple years that has been personal to me. And sometimes I'll tell you, when I'm not right, I can be very questioning and saying, what's going on here? Why? But when I have the right spirit, and I recognize that God is doing something in my life. He's helping me. Maybe it's to build faith. Maybe it's to, who knows, maybe it's to get things in order so that this could happen. I'll tell you what, life really gets a whole lot better because we understand God's will in everything. God's doing something. The flat tire, the laying off of the job, the whatever, God's using it for His good. Folks, I want to tell you something. I don't know what you go through in life, but we've got to have a perspective of God's will in our lives. And one thing that can distort that is when we will not be forgiving to people. What could God be doing through that hurtful circumstance? Something that you need to consider. What could God be doing? What can I learn or benefit from this hurt? Now I'm going to pause like I did last week. That's not to say that God approves of what that other person is doing. I've said this over and over again. Don't get the idea that it means that God approves of that hurt that that person is doing. No. God did not approve of what Nebuchadnezzar did. He didn't approve of what Ahab did. He didn't approve of what those brothers did. But God can use those things for His good. That's what you need to consider. What is God doing and what you can benefit? You know, Joseph was free with God's divine will. Notice in verses 7 and 8, and God sent me before you. Verse 8, and so now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. It wasn't you. God is doing a work. I'll tell you, I've said it many times and I'll say it again. Magnificent perspective that Joseph has. Honestly, who sold those brothers? Or who sold Joseph into slavery? It was the brothers. You were going to insert God there. The brothers did it, but I'll tell you what, God used it. And God sent him to a place that he was going to be used to help those very brothers out. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing, folks. And I don't know if I'm the only one seeing this amazing thing, but I see it, and I hope you are. Chapter 50, verses 19 and 20. Again, same perspective. And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God?" You hear these words? Joseph said, I'm not God. Don't even put me there. I didn't do. You know what? This is not me. This is God. "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." There's a godly perspective. And I'll tell you what, there's one group here that is undergoing bondage. Poor people. Poor folks that cannot see what God is doing. But there's one individual that has freedom, wonderful freedom. And in his freedom, he can see God just doing amazing things. What about you? What about you in your life? Do you find yourself in a life of bondage? Everything is a mess. Or are you free? Number five, Joseph's brothers were clouded with self. I want to tell you something. That's all they can think about in every circumstance is their selves. They were in bondage. Everything about self. And we can go through and look at examples. Again, dad dies. Oh no, what's Joseph going to do to me? Everything is about self with these guys. I want to tell you something. They're in bondage. And the person that's revolved around themselves is living in bondage. A selfish person is in prison. Prison from themselves. These brothers, what about you? Are you clouded with everything that's going on and how it affects you? And I'll tell you what, that brings a lot of frustration. A quick test to see whether or not you're clouded with yourself is how much you get frustrated with things. Because frustration comes when we're selfish. Things don't go the way we want them to go. What about Joseph? Seriously, think about that. If you look at verses, back to verse chapter 45, look at verses 10 to 15. Who's the focus of these verses? Read them. Who's the focus? Is Joseph piling things up for himself? He's second in command in Egypt. He can have whatever he wants to. And what's he doing here? Who's he thinking of? Purely. He's dishing things out left and right. It's for you. "Thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me. Thou and thy children, thy children's children, thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And I will, and there will I nourish thee. For yet..." And he continues to go on through this thing of he cared about these people. Who was free? Who was free? Joseph was free, folks. Who was in bondage? Selfish brothers. Question, will you forgive that person that's hurt you? Are you enjoying the bondage that you're going through? Lastly, number six. Before I give it to you, who was witnessing all that this was, all that was going on in the end here? Who's witnessing this? Kind of at a little bit of a distance. Egypt is, isn't it? Pharaoh, Egypt. All right, now in scriptures, I want to be careful. You know, we have types and different things like that, and people that in scriptures, not saying that Egypt is it, but in scriptures, a lot of times we look at different groups of people, and Egypt is one of them that typify the world. Okay? So I want to be very careful how I say that because I want to make something bigger than what it is. But we could look at it and say, the world is watching here. In chapter 45, when Joseph began to cry, who heard? Pharaoh and his house, they heard. What's going on in here? All right. Egypt is representative here by illustration of the world. down in Egypt. The world is watching. Pagan Egypt is listening to what's going on. Watching what is going on. They're watching as Joseph, they're listening as Joseph cries, as Joseph gives himself. In the coming days, we have Joseph and he's wanting his family to come up and Pharaoh's there. And what was Pharaoh's response to Joseph? Bring him. I want to tell you something. There was tremendous testimony going on in Egypt. Did it make an impact on Egypt? It did for a while. There was an impact on this pagan place for a while. And I'll tell you what, God blessed that place for a while Joseph was there. In a pagan place, God blessed that nation, that Pharaoh, because of a man of God that was doing right, that had a forgiving spirit. Now, to tell you something, there was a testimony. There was a testimony during this time that was amazing for Joseph. But let me ask you a question. Well, let's look at that. Look at... I have some verses underlined. I don't know if it's in chapter 45 and 50. I'm going to guess it's in verse 50, or chapter 50. No, it's in chapter 45. Look at verse 16. And the fame that was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleased Pharaoh well, and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lay your beasts, and go, and get you into the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat of the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded this day, this do ye, take your wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provisions for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And then verse 23, to his father he sent after his manner 10 asses laden with good things of Egypt, and 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. And again, go back to verse 16. And the fame that was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are coming, it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. Now, I want to tell you something. It doesn't say a whole lot about God there, but it has to be that there was some testimony of the God of Jacob in Egypt because of Joseph. But I want to ask you a question. If Egypt would have just been looking at these brothers, what would the testimony have been? It doesn't say anything about it, but I want to tell you, somebody that's selfish, that's all concerned about everything else, that's fearful of everything that comes around the corner, that has nothing good to say about this and is so unforgiving and so all this and scared about this and fearful of that, I want to tell you something, there would have been a good testimony that's there. Folks, when we have an unforgiving spirit, it's a detriment to God's service. And I'll tell you what, it stinks to the world. Here's a question. Does the world know about the tough people in your life that have hurt you? And I'll say this, if they do, then we've dropped the ball. We have dropped the ball if our worldly friends know about the people that have hurt us. I'll tell you what, it is a detriment if we go out into the world and we talk and it doesn't reflect the goodness of God and His perfect will. Can I say this? I said this back there in a prayer time before. This is a detriment. We need to be very careful right now Now, I don't know your perspective on everything with the voting and all this stuff, but if you are on a certain side and you're discouraged about certain things, the worst thing that you can do is go out into a hurting world right now and partner with other people and talk bad about what's going on. You know why? Because it's going to be a bad testimony. Because it's going to show that we are not happy with what God is doing. And we lose our opportunity. Folks, I want to tell you something. We've got to be very careful right now. That we go and that others would be able to see a testimony that only speaks of a good God. Does that make sense? Oh, folks, let's not miss the opportunity. For maybe that's why God has done and is doing what He's doing, is so that we have an opportunity to take a shining light in the midst of a crooked and dark situation and go with them about a good God that is able to do whatever He wants to do and bring us, like in this case, to Egypt for something good. Let's not miss the opportunity that we have, because the world is watching. And it could be a detriment to our witness and testimony to the world. If Joseph would have had the same unforgiving spirit as his brothers, I would say that it would have been much more of a mess. Who knows what would have happened? But I tell you what, it would have... Praise the Lord for the testimony he had in Egypt for a while. And he did. Because as that Pharaoh lived, God's people were blessed. It was only when that Pharaoh died and another Pharaoh came in that didn't know Joseph, when Egypt went back downhill again. And in America, we need to be Josephs. We need to be Josephs. And maybe because of a remnant of people that have a forgiving spirit, maybe God would bless. Now, I hesitate to say America's a pagan place, but we're getting there closely. So far, in God we trust. But I would say this. There's a testimony right here in America that we need to have. And it has a lot to do with how we deal with hurts in our lives. Now, I didn't give you a lot of answers to how to get all this. But maybe tonight and through last Sunday night, we can identify and say, you know what? I've got some issues with this. I'm in bondage a little bit with this, or maybe a lot with this. I need to change some perspectives and what God is doing in my life and see the good that's there. Maybe I could be like Joseph. He was a man of freedom. Even though he had gone through a lot of bondage, he was a free man. God has it for you, folks. I want to tell you something. There were a lot of people that raised their hands, kind of indicated, kind of in bondage. I want to tell you something. You don't have to be in bondage. God can free you up. Father, would you free us? You've already given us the means to do it. Your Son has shed His precious blood on the cross, freeing us from that sin and death and that law and wickedness, hell, bondage. Lord, I pray that we would claim it for our own. Lord, would you help us to be free people? That we could be people that would forgive. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. God, we close tonight by saying thank you for forgiving us. We didn't deserve anything, and yet you have forgiven us. Lord, help us to do the same thing to our brothers and sisters, people in life that have hurt us. And may we be free. For it's in Jesus' holy and precious name that we are free. And also we pray. Amen.